You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
Dependent upon your vocation, dependent upon, you know, where you are in life and how your job and your career, or maybe your whether you're a student, how you interact with people is usually defined by your surrounding, your career, where you are in life. And what I mean by this is that if you're someone who works in retail, most of the people that you see are potential customers or customers. And so most of your interaction with them, my first job was retail. And how many of you have, you've ever worked in retail in any way, shape, or form? Okay, so you're going to feel what I'm talking about here. How many know when you work in retail, it's like, can I help you at all, sir? Can I help you at all, madam? And so this is how you interact with people. And so most of how you're dealing with people, you're going to hear during the course of the day many times talk about sales or products or customers. And so this is something that you keep hearing. If you're someone, if you're a policeman or a policewoman, police person, yes, that's politically correct, you're going to interact with people. And most of the people you're going to interact with are going to be either victims of a crime or criminals. These are the people that you're interacting with. And so during the course of your day, during the course of your week, as you're talking, the word crime is going to be coming up all the time. Going to be coming up all the time. If you're a doctor, you're dealing with patients. Most people that are coming to you, they're coming to you because they need healing. And they're going to be telling you their sicknesses, and you're going to be speaking about medicine and all of these things. And I could go on and on and on about different vocations in life. And if you're in a certain industry or around a certain group of people, you hear the same thing. And as a pastor, being a pastor 9 years, I was thinking this morning, there is things that you keep hearing, and obviously we understand all the spiritual terminologies, but what I'm talking about today is something that I keep hearing from people that people say a lot. And one of that things, one of that the statements that I hear people say a lot is, it's too hard. It's too hard, Pastor. It's very difficult. This is too hard. This is too difficult. This is a struggle. This is something that is just too hard for me to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. Even sometimes you'll tell people, look, this is the right thing to do. And I very rarely have ever heard anybody say, no, I don't believe that's the right thing to do. You show people in the Bible, look what the Bible says. The Bible says A, B, C, D. How many know really most of the Bible is pretty simple when it comes to instruction? It's pretty simple. The Bible is pretty simple. I know there's some complex things in there, things that we find hard to understand. But most of the Bible is pretty simple when it speaks about things like not lying. I mean, that's pretty simple. We don't need to go into any deep theological debate about that. But the thing that many people do say is that, you know what, Pastor, this is hard. This is difficult to do. And I agree, life is difficult. A statement that you've heard me mentioned many times over the pulpit and over the course of, if you've been in this church for a while, is that don't ask for life to get easier. Ask for God to make you stronger. Because how many know life is not going to get easy? How many know life is just difficult? That is life. No one gets any exemptions about life. No one here. There may be things that are easier for you to do than for me to do. But then there's going to be things that are harder for you to do than me to do. That's just part of life. Every single person here has to struggle with a few things in life. Is there anybody here that you say, you know what? Life just feels like one of those theme parks for me. I got on at the top and I've just been sliding all the way through everything. Sliding through my education, sliding through friendship, sliding through my career, sliding through relationships, sliding right into marriage, into children, and it's just been, how many know that's not the case? Life is difficult. And so it's pointless us saying, you know what, life is hard, and so I just want life to get easier, and I'm going to wait until life gets easier before I'm happy, before I'm complete, before I can do what I need to do. No, don't ask. Just ask for life to get easier. If you can make it easier for yourself, then do it. But don't just ask for life to get easier. Ask God, help me to get stronger. I want to preach a series, and we've called it Strength. And the subtitle of the series is Getting Stronger in Christ for Life. Getting Stronger in Christ for Life. And what I mean by that is, how many know we need to get stronger in Christ for the rest of our life? I don't want to be stronger in Christ now, and then you see me 6 months later just doing a madness. I don't want to be stronger in Christ now, praying. You see me in the prayer room. You see me on the outreach. You see me doing all these spiritual things and singing songs. And then 6 months later, you see me selling crack somewhere at the corner of Plough Road. How many know that's... No. We don't want to just be seasonal strength. We want strength for all the rest of our life. But there's a double meaning to this subtitle. Because it's getting stronger in Christ for life. And what I mean by that is that you will get stronger in Christ for your life. That you're not just in church learning things, hearing about preaching, learning Bible truths, but then when you go out into what we say is the real world, you're weak. When you go back into your marriage or into parenting or into your finances, you're weak. When you go into relationships and dating or into the work or into school, you're weak. We should be getting stronger in Christ so that we're better at life. That should be our desire. That's my desire. I don't want to be becoming a Bible big head. You know Bible big heads? They just know all the Bible verses. And we should know all the Bible verses, but in life, so weak when it comes to the things of life. And so we're going to go through the next 4 weeks talking about strength, and I believe God is going to get us stronger in Christ for our life. And let's leap into this text, Romans 5 verse 6. That's where we're going to start. The Bible says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy. Father, we feel your presence here. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Lord, we have no confidence in our abilities just to communicate Bible truths, but our confidence is in your Spirit, opening hearts, preparing hearts, and activating responses to your word. Father, I pray that your people would see Jesus magnified, high and lifted up, and in that would be strengthened in Christ for their life. We ask you this in faith, and all God's people said, and the real church said, amen. This text here starts by making this statement. It says, without strength. And this is where it starts, because it says that there is a time when we was without strength. Now, this terminology, without strength, really describes the condition of man without God. He is without strength. Now, man can do a few things, and we've designed certain things, and maybe you're really impressed with the achievements of man. We've been able to design the light bulb and harness electricity and Bluetooth, and we've invented Instagram and all of these wonderful things that have changed our life immensely. But the reality is, if you look around the world today, you will see the condition of the world and you realize man without God is without strength. If we was to say, what is the most powerful country in the world? We would usually say America. What is the most richest country in the world? It is definitely America. It has the biggest economy in the world. We would say that the person that is elected to govern America, he's the most powerful man in the world. That's what they would usually say. And if you just look just recently, when I was in Jamaica for the impact, for the revival, when I was there, I was in a hotel and I was following the news as this guy was, the election, and when, you know, Trump wins. And so what we see is people protesting and going crazy, and they say that the country is more divided and all of these things. And we see a madness in our, you know, this is supposed to be the best of the best. Because what we see is that man without God, mankind without God, man's social system without God is without strength. Now, you may say, you know, man, every social system that man has designed has failed. It has failed. Because we see communism has failed. If you look, if you do a study on communism, you'll see that it's failed. We understand that... when we look at Western society and we're saying, you know what, capitalism. Oh, no, no, no. We don't want communism. We want capitalism. Okay. We went to capitalism when we had the credit crunch. And that is capitalism. And we say, oh, that's failed. And we say, well, democracy. Democracy is the purest thing. But people forget that Hitler was voted in. That's democracy. They voted in Hitler. So we think, you know, democracy is the gospel. Well, Hitler was democratically voted in. Look what he did. What we realize is any system that man has without God will not answer all your questions. It cannot fulfill you, will not bring all the answers. And so this statement, without strength, without the ability, really speaks about man without God. But it not just speaks about the world out there, also speaks about us. Because he's speaking about, in, what he says is, for when we were still without strength. How many know, Christian, there was a point in our lives when we were without strength? We had no ability to live for God. Now, why does he say this? Why remind us of this when we were without strength? Because we can fall into a misconception here. And what I mean by this is that there are some people that have a misconception that I've got to get my act together before I come to church. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my act together. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to get all these things together, and then I'm going to come to church. But the Bible actually says, no, God started a move on you when you was without strength. When you never had the ability to fix yourself. So to say, you know what, I'm going to fix myself to come to God, is like saying I'm going to have a shower to have a shower. It makes no sense. You have the shower to get clean. You come to God because you are without strength. Not only does it remind us of when we was without strength to brush aside the misconception of cleaning yourself before you come to God, but also the misconception is that the outcome of my life is solely dependent upon my ability. The outcome of my life is solely dependent on my ability. And if that is the case, how many know that many of us, we will be in a sad condition? What I mean by this is that if the quality of your Christianity and how you make it for God is solely based upon your faithfulness and your ability and your strength, you're in big trouble. Because if you really know who you are, and you're honest, you will know how unfaithful you are. You will know your own heart. See, all throughout the Bible, God is communicating to us, listen, you guys are without strength. And this is when I get involved in your life. When I visit you, when I come to you, you're without strength. You're without the ability. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord God to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Bible is saying this, is that when you go for a battle, what do we mean by a battle? Because most of us are not out there with shields and swords. A battle in your life, an obstacle, something that you're going through, an issue. I don't know what that is for you, but you know what it is. He says, that battle is not yours, it's mine. When you're in those battles of life, God says, listen, I know that it may seem like it's too hard for you. I know it may seem like there's loads of things you're going through, and it's very difficult. But the Bible says, listen, the battle is not yours, it's mine. I want to fight for you. We see it again in Exodus 14, 13. The Bible says, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. This is just before God splits the Red Sea. You ever been in a Red Sea situation? What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, when you know you've got to move forward, but you don't see an option, but the enemy's behind you. When you know you can't go back, but going forward is almost as scary as going back. You ever been in that type of situation? How many here that you've been saved, and maybe you've been saved for a while, and God has given you a revelation about himself, and you know to go forward is scary, but I can't go back to the world. I can't go back to my old ways. I can't go back to my old friends. I can't go back to the old boyfriend or girlfriend. I can't go back to dealing and doing all of these things and these dodgy things. But going forward is so scary. I don't see an option. I don't see an avenue, a way, or a door. God. The Bible says this is where God comes down and he speaks to Moses and he says, listen, stand still. See what I do in your life. And we know the outcome that God actually splits. Red Sea. God actually divides in a way which is supernatural and unnatural. When you was without strength, God made the first move towards you. Why is that encouraging? Because God saved you when you had nothing to offer him. God didn't wait until you cleaned yourself up and you started to prove yourself and you was doing this and you was like, yeah, listen, I know how to pray. I know how to put my hands that way. Listen to what I'm saying. This Father God. I pronounced it carefully. I knew the scriptures. And then God said, okay, you've sorted yourself out now. Now I'm going to come and save you. He says, no, when you was without strength, when you had nothing to offer me, you was unspiritual. You wasn't even trying to please me. You was living your life without me. The Bible says at that point in our text, it says that God demonstrated his love for us at that place. We understand what the word demonstration means. Like I said, with this American election, as soon as Trump won, people were demonstrating. I find it ironic that you would demonstrate against someone who was voted in democratically. You're demonstrating against the democratic process. What do you want us to do then? Pick who you want. I'm neither for or against anybody, but you see the vast contradiction of this far left wing politics. I know that's a little bit deep for Sunday, but sometimes I've got to give you some stuff to think about. Because people say things without thinking. But what is a demonstration? A demonstration is we're going to show what we feel. If I'm going to demonstrate, people do demonstrations, like I said, about politics. Some people demonstrate outside abortion clinics. Some people demonstrate if you go to Big Ben, House of Parliament, there's usually somebody demonstrating there. There's people demonstrating about the war. And what they're doing is when you demonstrate, you show your feelings. This is how I feel about this issue. I'm going to demonstrate. Now, think about this now is that, not just in that way, but also there's times when you can go to, I've been places like a shopping mall and someone would do a demonstration. They've got like a special new Hoover.
They'll throw things on the floor and they're doing a demonstration. They're showing how good it is. Or a blender or a cutter. They're demonstrating. The Bible says that God demonstrated his love for us. God has demonstrated already his love for you. The word in the Greek means to make known, to display. And so we would understand that, to make known or to display. You're demonstrating to me. God has made a demonstration. Not just to make known or display, because the word actually means to introduce or to put something together. Now I was thinking, how does that make sense? Like the word demonstration, how does it mean to introduce? Now the scripture says this, that God demonstrated his love towards us. So this is us. We're here. We're without strength. We need help. God has love for us. This is his love. His love is unconditional. His love is powerful for us. And the Bible says that what God has done, he has introduced. He has said, listen, this is my love and I'm going to put you together. He has demonstrated. He has brought his love to you. He has introduced you to this love which is powerful. Now, why is that so encouraging? Because look at when he demonstrated it. Look at when he did it. When you was without strength. See, when I was in school, you know, you'd have this thing where you'd be playing football and people would be picking teams. Where you'd have captains. How many remember that? You'd have captains. You'd like, there's a captain. Whether it was football, rounders, or whatever it was. You'd have two captains. And people would start picking. People would be in a crowd and they'd be like, yeah, I want Courtney. Yeah, I want this person. How many ever, you know what I'm talking about? As the process goes on, you start to get revealed who they think can do things. Now, I'll be honest. I not many things I was picked first, but I definitely wasn't picked last. So I'm just putting it out there. I probably look a little bit more sporty than I am, so that worked in my favor. But from time to time, you'd see someone that everybody knew, this brother can't do nothing. And so there's somebody there. And so how many know the last person actually didn't get picked? There's like, you get to, so there's two, and they're like, all right, I love him. That's how it works at the end. Yeah, I love him. And so then he comes, and then the other person just goes to the other team. Goes to the back, they're just on their phone. Yeah, okay, we're going to win this. And they don't even care about that. The Bible says this, when God picked you, when God introduced his love to you, when God demonstrated his love for you, you was at your lowest point. God picked you first, even though he knew you was the worst. He picked you first at your worst. The Bible says he demonstrated his love for you when you was unlovable. That's not like you got yourself together and then he picked you. The Bible says scarcely for a righteous man will one die. You know what, if there's a guy and he's got a good rapport, he's a good guy, then maybe someone would give their life for them. The Bible says, scarcely, very rarely would that happen, that people give their life for someone. But if they give their life for somebody, usually it's a righteous man or a good man. This is why people give their life for the president. They're respecting this position. No, I'm going to die for the president. Oh, this is a good person. How many know most people don't want to die for criminals? People don't want to die for criminals and roughnecks. People don't want to lay down their life for people that have done bad things and people that do not seem to be a value to society. What if they ask you, oh, you know what? We need you to go in there and rescue this murderer. You may die. I'll be like, no. That murderer can. He made his decision. I've got a wife. No. That's how we would think. But the Bible says that, no. When you and I were without strength, The Bible describes in our text, it says, he died when we were without strength, when we were not godly, when we didn't stop sinning, when we were enemies of God, that's when he died for us. Think about this now. When you lack the strength to be godly. I remember talking to a guy. There's a guy who visits our church from time to time. Nice guy. He's a friend of some people here. And we were talking, and he likes to debate. He's a nice guy. I was debating with him when we were talking about something. And I said, listen, nobody can do the Ten Commandments without Jesus. You couldn't do it. He goes, no, I can do it. I said, bro, you can't. Come on, man. Don't say that. No, I could do it. I said, okay, just try stop lying. And, come back. He goes, yeah, I'll be back. That was about 2 years ago. I still haven't seen him. I still have not seen him. Because listen, we're without strength. Do you know we can't live the Ten Commandments without God? Do you know we can't live righteous without God? We're without strength. We lack the ability. The Bible says when we were without strength, maybe a few months ago, I bought one of these. I had one before, but I bought another one. One of these pull-up bars in the house. So I was like, if I just can't go to the gym, I'll just do some pull-ups. The people are like, we don't see no difference, man. We don't notice. You take that bar back, man. How we got a receipt? And so, but I could do a few pull-ups. I could do some. And so they shall remain nameless. But there are individuals. they grab it. My days. Because they saw me then. They're like, yeah, I'm going to do it. No, that's not a pull up. It's a jump up. That's good for the calves. That's not good for the biceps. There's some of you here, if we put you on that bar, you couldn't, not even an inch. You'd be like, yeah, I'm doing it. No, that's your heels, man. You're without strength to pull yourself up. The Bible says that's how we were. That we couldn't make ourselves righteous one inch. Without strength, I can't even make myself righteous. And God saw us. And he said, you know what? I'm going to bring my love to you. When you was at your ugliest, you could not be like God. That means everything you was doing, God did not like. You could not stop sinning. You could not make peace with him because he says that we were not godly. We were still sinning. We were enemies. Can I tell you today, before he saved you, he knew who you was. Some of you are serving God and you think now God's found out who you are. Like somehow you're serving God, you got saved and you've done a few things and now God's like, oh my goodness. Is that you? Oh, I wouldn't have never saved you. The Bible says when you was without strength, he already knows who you are. He already knows what you are. He already knows what you've done. And he has demonstrated, he has introduced, he has brought close his love for something that was unlovable. What do you mean by that, Pastor? You mean unlovable. I mean, when someone's doing everything you want them to do, it's easy to love them. They're doing everything you want them to do. Bro, your wife does everything you want her to do. You come home, house is spotless. Your favorite meal wafts into your nose as you come through the door. See, everything you know, she's coming, Hey, what do you want to do today? I don't know. Maybe we should read about what's going on with Arsenal and Manchester United together. Well, yeah, let's look into that, yeah. Why don't we see some old goals from back in the day and debate? Yeah, let's do that. She's doing everything you want her to do. Yeah, I'm a bit tired. Can I have some space, some me time now? Just chill out. I've been a long day at work. No problem, man. Just let me know when you need anything, yeah? I'll be over here. It's nighttime now. Say no more. So easy. I love her. I love that woman. Let's turn it on the opposite. Come home. What's this? What's this house here? Around the bedroom. Why is all these clothes here? 50 outfits. You try things on and... What's this? I'm hungry. Oh, I haven't eaten all day. Oh, I think there's something in there. Rustle something up. You don't spend enough time talking to me. You're always watching football. Yeah, no, just trying to catch up, man. Nighttime comes, got a headache. Ladies, it's easy to love a guy. Comes back from work and he just, you know, I don't know what. Every event he celebrates. Oh, we've been married a week. It's our week anniversary. You come home, you hear. What's happening here? There's petals down the corridor. There's presents, perfume, flowers, chocolates. I said, babe, would you like me to run your bath? One of those scented baths, Radox. You go in the bathroom, there's a bubble bath, there's candles in there. Some of you are like, or some of the women are like, oh. I mean, it's easy to love someone when they're lovable. It's easy to love someone when they're lovable. What about when they're not? Can I tell you, God loved us when we were unlovable. Everything God would say, listen, guys, you need to, now, stuff you, God, I'm going out raving. Everything God, hey, listen, you need to do the relationships like this. No, I do relationships the way I want to do relationships. God's like, listen, I've made you all, you know, live together in unity. No, I just steal. I take things when I want things. I hate people. I'm this, I'm that. And all of these things, you're living a sinful life. You're without strength to be changed, to make yourself more lovable. But God still demonstrated his love towards you. There's some of you here, you're not a Christian. You're not saved. You're not born again. You don't go to church and maybe you've been invited by someone. Can I tell you, God loves you. Even though right now you're living your life without him. Even though you're living in sin without him. Even though you are living without him. The very life that you live is in contradiction to how he made you to live. He made you. The Bible says that that's when he saved us. That's when he saw us. That's when he demonstrated. That's the place where God made the first move. And the Bible is reminding us about that because he says this brings strength. We've got some pictures. I want you to put the first picture up. How many know this guy is? You know this guy is? This guy's, his name is Ryan Shaw. This is the strongest man in the world. He won the strongest man competition. And so, I don't know if there's many multiple competitions. I don't know if there's a premiership and this league and that league. But this is what it said on the internet. This man is the strongest man in the world. Now, let me give you some understanding about this. He can deadlift 1,140 pounds. Now, some of you be like, I don't know what deadlift is anyway. And I don't. So, you know, say that the average person maybe 10 stone, I don't know, maybe if we got 10 people up here and the average weight, and so that's probably about, what, 150 pounds or something. So really and truly, he could almost deadlift 10 people. So what we could do is we could put five of you here and five of you here, and he could have a bar and he could lift you up. So if you were hanging off here, he could lift 10 people. Now some of us would barely be able to pull up one person. Let's keep it real. Listen, don't start. Yeah, they would be hard. I'd be easy. Not that. But this guy can pull. He can pull lorries. What's the next picture? Show the next picture. This guy's pulling a fire truck. They strapped it there like a backpack. This guy's. this guy's nuts. I actually looked at the video of what he was doing, and it's just crazy. This guy is a beast. Imagine this guy can pull a fire truck. Imagine your car's ever broke down and you need someone to just give you a little push to get out of the way. This guy could do that easy, man. If you doubt it, listen, this guy, show the next picture. He can easily push your car. He can pick up your car. He could get in it and just pick it up. Look, that now he is wearing it like a backpack. Now think of the strength of this guy, and imagine he's coming around your house, and you're meeting him at the door, and you're going to cook him a meal, and so you've got some shopping bags, and as you're struggling with the shopping bags, he says, "Let me help," and you're like, "No, I'm not sure if you can." I'm going to be mad. That's nuts. Now you know what he can do. Haven't you seen what he's done already? Why are you doubting that he could handle that? How much more, if he can do that, how much more easy is it for him to do this? See, the analogy I've given, you could take him off that, he's distracting you. The reality is this, think about this now. I've said, here is this guy that can lift cars, and would you doubt that he could help you with your shopping? No, Pastor, that would be ridiculous, because we don't doubt proven ability when it's been demonstrated. We don't doubt proven ability when it has been demonstrated. But when we doubt that God can get us through this tough time, that's the very thing we're doing. When you're in a struggle and you're in a tough situation and you start to doubt, you're doubting God's demonstrated ability. He has already done much more. So how much more will he help you with this? Just think about this. The Bible describes the condition of the unsaved is that we are alienated. We've alienated ourselves. We've pushed God away because of our sin. The Bible says that our sin has built a wall between us and God. So there's a wall. We're separated. There's a wall in between. And the Bible says that because we live in this life of sin, we're far from God. You can say anything you want. But this is what the Bible says. If you continue in sin, if you're not born again, you're not saved, the Bible says you've distanced yourself from God. You can say, no. Me and God are one. Me and the Father. I heard someone on outreach, people say, "I'm a God bless picnic," or something like this. No. If you're living without Christ, this is where you are. You're separated. But the Bible says this: if you was over there separated like that, what God did is He broke through the wall. He compassed that distance, and He came to where you were. And He sees you in your sinful state, because there's no one here that could say, "You know what, Pastor, I've never sinned." He saw you in that sinful state. And what He does is He justified you. So here I am as a sinner, distant from God. God has come all the way here in my sinful state, and He's justified me. The word justified, what it means is He's made you just as if you've never sinned. Think of that. That's amazing. Here I am sinning in my life, and I just call out to Jesus, and watch, He breaks through the wall, He comes to me, and He covers me with His holiness. So now when God looks at me, He sees me as holy. This unholy person that was living their life in sin, He has justified me. Even before I could actually change, He's justified. The Bible says He's reconciled me. In our text it says, after we've been justified and reconciled. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved. If God, when you was living without him. He did all of that to save you and to reconcile you with him. What would he not do to keep you? What is he not going to do to keep you? When people hear you, you think, you've looked at your own ability and then you've looked at your problem and you thought, it's too hard. What does the Bible say? I can do all things through Christ that what? Strengthens me. What we understand is this, if God would do all of that to save me, what would he not do to keep me? When I didn't want him, he came from heaven to earth to save me. He died to save me. Now that I'm trying, is he going to throw me away because I make mistakes? Is he going to let me go because I've showed him that I'm not perfect? Is he going to see my weakness and say, no, that's it, forget it? He would never do that. The Bible says there is much more in salvation than before salvation. This is the crime of the modern church, is that we have Christians, they think God did more to save them than to keep them saved. It's like, we got saved, and it's like we talk about, yeah, I got saved, and I give a testimony, I got saved, and now since you've been saved, it's almost like God started it and said, now go on your way and work this thing out for yourself. The Bible says, no. There is much more in salvation. Now that you're trying and you're seeking him and you're pushing through, he's going to work things out. He's going to work it out. He's going to strengthen you. And the two things he says there, he said he'll save you from the wrath. Christian, if you will give your heart to Christ and say, God, you know, I know who I am. When I was without strength, you saved me. And everything I do is just by your strength and your grace. Can I tell you, you will make heaven your home. You may see your weaknesses. You may be aware of your faults. But God will make sure that you make heaven your home. Not only that, but God will be, the Bible says he will save you. And what that means is, we use the word save like it means one process. Save. I'm saved. When the Bible speaks about being saved, it's three processes. It's justification. He saved you. That means now he looks at you, you're righteous. He sanctifies you. That means he's changing you. And at the end, he will glorify you. You will see Christ and you'll be as he is. That's when you become perfect. No one becomes perfect on earth. We don't become perfect until we should become mature. And the Bible says, be perfect as God is perfect. He needs to be mature. Shouldn't be immature, hanging out with things that you know you should have passed by now. We were saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. Fight until the end. There is strength in Christ for life. Remember, when you was weak, that's when he saved you. And so he knows you, and he will get you through anything that you're going through right now. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.